Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, text number 28. Kritaisha Vidava Lanka.
Kritaisha Vidava Lanka.
Vayam cha Kula Nandana.
Vayam cha Kula Nandana.
Deha Kritam Nam Krit. Gridranam
Dehakritonam Vidranam
Atmanaraka Hetave
Atmanaraka Hetave
Krita
made by you
Esha
all of this
Vidava
without a protector
Lanka
the state of Lanka,
Vayamcha,
and us,
Kulanandana.
O pleasure of the Rakshashas,
Deha,
the body,
Kritaha,
made by you,
Anam,
edible,
Kritranam,
of the vultures,
Atma,
and your soul,
Naraka Hetave,
for going to hell.
O pleasure of the Rakshasha dynasty,
because of you, the state of Lanka,
and also we ourselves now have no protector.
By your deeds, you have made your body fit to be eaten by vultures,
and your soul fit to go to hell.
Doesn't sound like a very good, well-lived life, does it?
I mean, it's, if you're wearing a coat and it's thrown to the dogs, that's one thing. But if you yourself are taken to a dungeon to live there perpetually, it's very unpleasant. Purport. So let's make sure we don't follow Ravana's footprints. I have no yena katas about that. We should not make Ravana as one of our leaders. There is actually the Ramayana, where Ravana is the hero of that Ramayana. And the villain is Ramachandra. And the heroine is Sorpanaka. We don't usually read that Ramayana. Purport. One who follows the path of Ravana is condemned in two ways. His body is fit to be eaten by dogs and vultures, and his soul goes to hell. As stated by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita, Tanaham Dvishatakuran Samsareshna Naradamam Shibramya Jasama Shubham Asri Shreva Yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, for those men, are cast by me into the ocean material existence, into various divine species of life. Thus the destination of godless atheists such as Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, Dandavakra is a hellish condition of life. Mandari, the wife of Ravana, could understand all of this because she was a chaste woman. Although lamenting for the death of her husband, she knew that what would happen to his body and soul. For although one cannot see directly with one's material eyes, one can see with the eyes of knowledge. Vaishanti Jnana Chakshusha. In Vedic history, there are many instances of how one becomes godless and is condemned by the laws of nature. O pleasure of the Rakshasha dynasty, because of you, the state of Lanka, and also, we ourselves have no protector. By your deeds, you have made your body fit to be eaten by vultures, and your soul fit to go to hell. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna devotes one whole chapter to the process of going to hell. If one is interested, one can study that very carefully. And if you follow it, then you guarantee that the Yamadutas will come and greet you at your time of leaving the body, and will personally escort you to have a personal interview with the Yamaraj. And they'll show you at least some of the different hells, and you can stay there for some time. You don't have to bring your jacket with you, it's nice and warm. Therefore, here it says, Tanaham Dushita Kuran, Samsarayishan Radhama, Shri Pramyadresam Ashubham, Ashvishvayi Vyonishu, Asram Yonim Apinam, Muda Janmani Janmani Mapraprat Vyayva Kuntiya Tatoyanti Yadamam Gitim. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, I perpetually cast into the lowest species of life. Obtaining such species of life, one gradually goes down to the most abominable state of existence. So we may wonder, how is this possible that people could actually go down to the lowest state of existence? After all, we're living in a civilized society where people eat with forks and knives and they have a napkin. How is it possible such gentlemen and ladies could go down to the lowest species of life? Well, then Krishna answers that in the next one. Trivida narakasyadam dvaram nashtam atmanaha kama krodha tata lobas tasmam etam triyam chire. There are three gates leading to hell: lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should give these up because they lead to the degradation of the self. Now that's on the gross platform. There's also delusion, forgetfulness, and loss of intelligence. In other words, as soon as we're not engaged in Krishna service, then the tendency is we become influenced by the material senses and the mind. Senses and mind simply tell us that we must serve them, and there's no other purpose of life other than to serve the senses. Chintyam apareyam cha pralayantam upashitya kama bhoga paramam ikavam iti nischita aisha pasha sutaravada kama krodha parayana Yehanti kama bhogartam aninena artha sanchaya. They believe that to gratify the senses under the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization, and therefore there can be no measurement of their anxiety. Being bound by hundreds and thousands of desires, by lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense enjoyment. Does it sound familiar? Know anyone who's hear of anyone who's ever engaged in unrestricted sense gratification? Otherwise, why do we get this current idea that it doesn't really matter? You know, sex is for everything. Human beings, animals, whatever, dead people, everything. There's no reason to be too discriminating. Just like in Germany, recently they had a march. The march was to protest the law in Germany which forbids people from having sex with their animals. So they had a law protest, they had a march protesting it, and of course they brought along their pets to the march. So that's called human civilization. Because that's how the material nature works. If one comes under the control of lust, in the mode of passion, then one will certainly, in the mode of goodness, one gratifies the senses in so as much as necessary. In order to keep the body and the soul together, it's necessary that there's a certain amount of sense gratification. That's called calm according to the laws of Dharma. And when they have that sense gratification, one needs a certain amount of economic development. As I said before, previously, people used to get their economic development by going in the backyard and throwing a few seeds on the ground, maybe pulling out a few weeds, and then the plants would grow, and then that was their economic development. That was it. Now, when we think what they, there were no video games, there was no internet, what did they do? Well, they chanted Hare Krishna. How primitive people will think. They just kept on repeating the same thing over and over again, and hearing about some cowherd boy in some aborigine village. But they had fresh air, they had fresh water, they had fresh food, they actually had nice relationships with each other, and they weren't anxiety about many, many things that were in anxiety about. There was no great reset. There was no worrying about what the price of gold it was. If the plants came up, their life was, materially speaking, complete. The seasons were regulated. The rainfall was regulated. People's lives were regulated. And they were actually quite peaceful and relatively happy. But as the people became lusty, they didn't want to work anymore because they were in the mode of ignorance. They decided just to kill the cow and the bull that they were actually supposed to take care of. Then their whole lives became more and more complicated. And since their whole system was based upon animal slaughter, if you kill the animals, then you also, out of lust, then you become greedy and angry also, and your spiritual consciousness goes away. Nivritya parshya upiyamanas. Listen. It's at the beginning of usually every. Anyhow, that pashudna, that everyone can become Krishna conscious except for those who are killing themselves and killing animals. Because if one kills animals, then not only one will complicate one's life, because if you kill animals and eat them, then you have to take intoxication. When you take intoxication, then everything looks beautiful. And in order to support your sinful activities, then your mind becomes uncontrolled and all you can do is speculate what kind of material desire you're going to fulfill today. And then you may start, your whole life becomes a gamble. And that's modern society. Although they were imagining that they were making progress, but as it says here, they're making progress to hell. That Yamaraj and his assistants were working overtime in Kali Yuga because people are so sinful and they don't have computers that are all written down, handwritten, because even Yamaraj doesn't want to waste his money on a computer. It's going to break down. So his scribes are eternally writing down all the people's sinful activities. So before Kali Yuga, Vidura took a vacation. Yamaraj took a vacation, came into Vidura, because he knew he had to work overtime in Kali Yuga. No extra pay, though. Because he has sinful people lined up day and night that Yamaraj has to figure out. As a matter of fact, they had to do some renovation in hell to expand it a little for Kali Yuga. And they hire some extra Yamadutas to take care of all the guests coming in. Therefore, one should try to understand the value of chanting the holy name and the fact that we're two things. One, we should try to understand that we're fallen, because if we don't understand we're fallen, we'll be disappointed that we're not getting what we want. And the second thing is the necessity of taking shelter of Krishna through his representatives. Otherwise, we may know we're fallen, but we'll stay fallen. So therefore, we have to become conscious of the necessity of taking shelter of Krishna and his representatives so that we stop being fallen and therefore stop becoming influenced by the material energy, by especially lust or greed or anger, which will lead us to even becoming more fallen than we already are. Now, by the mercy of the holy name, when we hear about how people are taking animals on a parade because they run a protest, because they're not allowed, in Germany at least, to have sex with their pets, therefore we think that this is madness. But they think it's completely normal. They think everyone else is crazy. So that's the influence of the illusory energy. Just as 5,000 years ago, when the sages heard that when Shudra was dressed as a king and was beating on a cow and bull, they became aghast, astonished at such a thing that happened in a civilized society. But now, when you hear about how someone is beating on a cow and bull or sending one to a slaughterhouse, it seems completely normal. But if someone is caught beating on a dog, then they'll get arrested, perhaps, if he's on it. At least we haven't come to the platform that you can beat on your dog and cat and your pets. You can do anything else with them you want, but you shouldn't beat them. So this is due to the covering of the material nature. Under the covering of the material nature, as one progressively enters into the mode of ignorance, then one's vision is changed, one's conception of change, one's motivation is changed. The intensity of the senses also change. In passion, the senses are intense, and in ignorance, they're not so intense, but one's intelligence has been taken completely away. So one has no energy to do anything, no intelligence, and no physical energy to do very much, usually. Or if one has physical energy, one certainly has no spiritual intelligence. Therefore, the conclusion is we should chant Hare Krishna as our only remedy, but in the spirit of realizing our fallen condition and the necessity of taking shelter of Krishna, just like a child takes shelter of its mother. Otherwise, Kali Yuga is very strong. Kalena Balam. Kalena Balya Raja. This time. That day after day, day after day, these Kalena Raja. See, what could be first word? Tatashanudinam Dharma. Satvam Sotyam Dama Shama Balena Kali Raja Nakshankarya Bolam Smiti. Day after day, as we've noticed, if you happen to read the newspapers, that day after day everything is going down from the spiritual point of view. Tatasanudinam Dharma. Dharma, the purpose of life, people are becoming more and more forgetful of. And what is being placed with? Satvam Sotyam. They're losing truthfulness and cleanliness, mercy and tolerance. Balena Kali Raja. By the strong force of Kali Yuga, Nakshankaya Balam Shmiti. People lose their memory and their bodily strength. So this is all following what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. This is what happens. And we're seeing it. We're living the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam, even if it was written down 5,000 years ago, and that's what Sugadeva Goswami was telling Parikshit Maharaj. And we're seeing it right before us. All the predictions. So you don't have to go to astrology, just read the Bhagavatam. You'll find out the future. But we should try to get out of Kali Yuga as quickly as possible. Otherwise, we'll see more of the Bhagavatam manifested before us, and not the most pleasant part of it.
So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Just one my question. And devotee, there are ISKCON devotee, maybe there are some devotee not pure. So after that they are go to spiritual world, or after they go to Jamudut place?
If the devotee is not pure.
Not pure. So.
Well, that depends what he's, if he's engaged in devotional service and he follows the regular principles, then he'll get another chance and come back. Continue on with his devotional service. That's what Rupa Goswami says in Nectar Devotion. But generally, devotional service is a continuum over many lifetimes. But if the devotee falls down and is sinful, then he may have to suffer sinful reactions, or at least take, it's probably right in the Bhagavad Gita, he may have to take a lower birth in his next lifetime. But auspicious Krishna consciousness will continue. Hare Krishna, thank you for the question. Anything else? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. Recently you make that point of in one of your lectures that like devotees we always have strength and capacity to do decision and to do things in conscious way. So according to this lecture, my point is even devotee, if he is in a mood of ignorance, of passion, he don't have capacity to do right things, to have strength to
could always chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
He could chant Hare Krishna and then Krishna will give him the strength. Mm-hmm. We independently don't have strength just because we have the designation of becoming a devotee or aspiring devotee. But we get the strength when we, as much as we're following the process, when we come by Krishna's mercy, he gives us the strength.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.